spotlight right now, to the point of its integrity is being questioned, its faithfulness is being questioned to our allies and our own service members and the people that are fighting every day to be able to keep us free. Up on the screen, there's 13 service members that were killed at the airport last week. And the names, if you haven't heard the names that are on that screen, is anywhere ranging from the age of 20 to 23. You want to turn that down a little bit, please? I'm going to read through the names, and if you haven't heard of them, I encourage you to look them up and read their story and what they were fighting for. Some of the stories of what these guys have are pretty special. So out of respect and honor, we're going to read these 13 service members' names. Marine Corps Lance Corporal David Espinoza, 20 years old. Marine Corps Sergeant Nicole G., 23 years old. Marine Corps Staff Sergeant Darren Taylor Hoover, 31. Army Staff Sergeant Ryan Noss, 23. Marine Corps Corporal Hunter Lopez, 22. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Riley McCullum, 20 years old. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Dylan Marola, 20 years old. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Kareem Nicola, 20 years old. Marine Corps Corporal Deegan William Tyler Page, 23 years old. Marine Corps Sergeant Giovanni Rosario, 25. Marine Corps Corporal Humberto Sanchez, 22 years old. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz, 20 years old. Navy Hospital Corpsman Max Sovic, 22 years old. Those people answered the call to do what they were told to do what they were compelled to do. They got the easy end of the stick. It's their families, it's their friends that have to deal with them being gone and figuring out how life goes on with missing their son or their daughter or their brother or their sister. So I pray that you guys take it a step further and start to make this part of your daily routine, is to pray for this country, because it's no doubt that it's in shambles. We have government officials that are willing to turn their back and walk away from issues and from situations that we shouldn't, and that's not who America was founded on or how America was founded upon. God doesn't turn his back on people. This nation was founded on biblical principles that are getting its back turned on. There are things that in this country that are no longer biblical, that are trying to get shoved down our throat and trying to get crossed over to making you think that it's okay. And it is far from it. So when we say to pray for your nation, it is something that is for real. As we're going to look at today, with God's omnipotence, his all power that he is, nothing is too far from God to be able to fix. Nothing is too far gone for God to be able to not bring back. And this country is not at a state where God can't bring it back. God, being all powerful, can be able to bring this country back, but it's going to take his people in this country to call out to him. God wants to hear that he's still needed. God wants to hear that people still care and still want him. That's our job as Christians in America and in America, to be able to be the ones who are trying to confess the sins for our nation and stand up for our nation before God's throne. So with that, let's just open up with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you for the what we've got left of our freedom in this nation, that we're able to at least come before you this morning in a building that is free and just able to worship you and talk about you. There's places like Afghanistan now where anybody who is a Christian or who left the Muslim faith or who goes against whatever the Taliban or anybody with the ISIS members believe in, that it's certain death. And we are not at this point yet in this nation, and I thank you for that we're able to come before you. And our church body is not just what we can see with our own eyes and what it consists of, but our church body is anybody who's accepted your Son as their Savior, they're adopted into your family to be our brothers and our sisters. So it's our brothers and our sisters that are overseas, that are in places like Afghanistan, who are being tortured, who are being humiliated, who are being called out for the faith that you provide. We ultimately want to just ask that through those challenges that those people can stand firm and just show your truth and show your grace, that the people that are persecuted may get to know you. That's the whole goal. That's what you would want. That's not what we always want. We don't want to pray for those that are hurting us or persecuting us, but that's what you want. Your goal is to have every mankind know who your Son is, to know that your Son came and died on the cross for our sins and the sins of the entire world. Whether that's somebody that accepts you or not, that's still your goal of what you want. So we just pray that the stories may be heard, that your light may shine in the dark, such a dark, ugly place over there right now. Father, we just pray for our leaders in this nation, that you can give them a backbone, that you can just expel and expose the evil that's being done, that is so prevalent that it's just laughable at times, that we can't even understand that it keeps getting deeper and deeper, and it seems just like it's a fairy tale. But we want to pray that you can just expose that, and we know that it's there for your will. We know that you allowed these people to be in power for part of your plan, and our minds sometimes cannot understand what that may be. So we come before you with trust that we know what you're doing. You are the Almighty God that has a plan for everything and a purpose. And although we don't see that, we trust you. And we just pray that you can give us the discernment and the tenacity to stand firm and be strong and be able to be an encouragement for people. There's so many opportunities out there when the world looks like it's in shambles and that it's a mess, that gives opportunity for us to shine forth your glory. So we just ask that you give us the courage to be able to do that. Just want to pray for this morning that you may help set my selfish motives aside and whatever I want to say, whatever I think needs to be heard, and you just set that aside and let the Holy Spirit run rampant with the things that you need to be said. You know what each ear and heart needs in this room this morning, and I just pray that it is heard loud and clear, that it can be something that changes each and every one of ours' attitudes that we carry out throughout the week, just to be able to be contagious to other people in a good way. And I just want to thank you again for our time this morning. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to cover omnipotence this morning, which is, if you have your sheets again are definitions from the Webster's 1828 dictionary, and that we look back at because it kind of puts words into a biblical perspective versus just looking up a word on Google and what it means today. So it's nice just to kind of get a more of a biblical background of what a word means. So omnipotence, and basically what it is all-powerful. That God is all-powerful. Part of God's character, or the essence of God that we're covering, is his character, who and what he is. Because if we know who and what God is, we are able then to put our full trust in God. We are able then to put our heart fully into him, knowing that he stands by the character of who he is. We can trust that God will truly do what he says he's going to do. So, omnipotence is all-powerful. Jeremiah, we're going to cover a few verses this morning. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Psalm chapter 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. So God is all powerful. There is nothing that he cannot do or accomplish. His ultimate power and righteousness are what allows him to never be contrary to his holy nature. Unlike so many people that we see in the position of authority, God will never abuse his power of authority. And that is something that is hard for us to see, because we look at any, you just throw the public figure out, or whoever's the authority is, even police officers. There's good ones and there's bad ones, that they want to do things that are for their own selfish motives or their own selfish gains. There's so many people that are in the position of authority or power, and you even look in the military, it's the same way, that our human nature can skew what ultimate power and authority looks like, because we always have a jaded opinion that they're out for their own good. And that is not God. That is not a way to look at God or look at His words. Because when God says something, when He gives us a promise, why it's called a promise in the Word is because He's true to His character. The essence of who He is, the complete perfectness and the righteousness and the justice of God, He can't change. We're going to cover veracity, or immutability, excuse me, later, that is, God is unchanging. And that, if God is unchanging, all of the stuff that He says is true. He can't go back. And so many times the people that are in power or the people that are in authority, they change their mind and their opinions so often that we never know where they stand. So it's hard for us to truly picture somebody in authority that is truthful. And that is something that, if you can wrap your head around God and Him being truthful and honest, and that his words truly mean what He says they do, it should change the way that we are able to look at God. And that way, when we read something in the Scriptures, we can take that in heart and know that that truly will affect me and change me and help me, because God won't lie. So a question that I have is, does your life reflect God's power? That's the question that we want to hold on to today. That God's omnipotence and all His might and power, it's our fallback. We've covered a stronghold. What our stronghold is, it is what we need to know stands behind us as we move through this life. Our stronghold is our safe place. It's our place that we can go to, that we know that we don't have to walk on edge and we don't have to be worried about what's coming at us. And that should be God. God should be our stronghold. It should, knowing who He is and taking that in and using that in our life, that should change our day-to-day walk if we truly know and accept who God is. So how do we experience this stronghold and comfort? Number one is, we have to humble ourselves under His mighty hand. If we don't humble ourselves under God's hand, all of the stuff that He says that He is, and all of the peace and the comfort and the rest that He says that He can provide us, we won't obtain that. We won't get to experience that, because our self is going to be in the way. We ourselves are going to try to accomplish all of that peace and that rest that God truly provides us. So step one is to humble ourselves. We have to get ourselves off of the box, and we have to be able to submit under His throne. So God will make a way when there is no way. His ultimate power is our true hope. How do we have hope in our life? How do we know that our life needs to have something of value in it? How do we need to get through our day when we have so much stuff getting thrown at us, and so many issues, and so many things that we can't seem to handle, or so many things we can't seem to grasp? We always have a hope. We're always yearning for something more. We're always reaching and stretching for something. And that hope is God. That hope is Jesus Christ. The life that Jesus Christ gave on that cross for us to be able to have a relationship with the one true Almighty God. God's power should change our perspective on anything. Because there is nothing on this face of this earth, no human being, no circumstance, no anything, that can be bigger and more powerful than what the Almighty God is. And we get trapped. That's what Satan wants us to do, is to get trapped in our circumstances and our scenarios, thinking that there's no way out. This is too big of a problem. there's nothing, I can't handle this. This problem is bigger than life itself. We'll go backwards and look at how powerful and almighty God truly is. God is the one that created everything. How could anything be bigger than the one who created everything? Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And they were talking about salvation and about heaven. But what's neat with that is who themselves can get themselves to heaven, or who is good enough to be able to save themselves. With man, that is impossible. I can't save myself other than my accepting of Jesus Christ on that cross. But I can't physically save myself. I can't physically, when I die, I can't physically take myself and put me to heaven. I can't physically take my wife, if she dies, and take her and put her in heaven. With man, that is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And you look at heaven is would be the toughest thing that we would be able to do. Because once you're dead, you're dead. You can't do anything. Physically, you're dead. So you have no choice. So what he's saying is that is one of the most impossible things that could ever be reached or ever be done. And it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible, including our eternity. So how often do things we face and deal with look impossible? How many times are we at our wit's end? And how often are we in a situation that feels completely hopeless? My question is, I ask you, what God do you serve? Because if you serve the Almighty God that is all-powerful, nothing is impossible. No matter what battles or trials or situations that you're dealing with in your life, whether it's physical, whether it's a spiritual battle, whether it's an emotional battle, whether it's a mind game battle, nothing is too hard for God to accomplish. So what are you afraid of? Is it tomorrow? Are you afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow? Are you afraid of people's opinions? Are you afraid of failing? Are you afraid of looking stupid or making mistakes? We're going to refer to it as a giant. What giant in your life is holding you back from the confidence that you serve the Almighty King? What giant is holding you back from a joyful life? It's time to face the giant, because it's all in perspective. The giants seem larger than they really are. The giant, or the situation, the problem, whatever it is, it cannot overbear the power of God. The giant that you have in your life that seems undoable is very small compared to the giant stature of our Almighty God. We're going to look at a story in the Bible that everybody's heard of, whether this is the first time you've been in church or the 100 millionth time you've been in church. We can go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to jump in the story of David and Goliath. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to jump in at verse 45. And if you want to follow along, we're going to read verse 45 and we're going to read through verse 54. So 1 Samuel, it's the Old Testament, first part of your Bible. Chapter 17, verse 45, where we're going to start. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. What did Goliath come with? A sword, a spear, and a javelin? That's earthly. Picture that as earthly objects. And what did David do? But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. You have earthly tactics versus spiritual tactics. How are we going to come prepared for our battles? Are we going to rely on things of this world to fight our battles? Or are we going to go to the Lord of hosts, the Lord of all the armies? Do we approach our battle in the Lord's name? He's here to share our burdens together. We've covered that he wants to yoke up with us to help share our burdens. The battle is his. It's not ours. Verse 46. Excuse me. I'm going to read 45 again. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted." Whom you have taunted. Do we taunt God when we talk the talk, but we don't really trust him? That's a gut check. That one punched me right in the gut. I can say so many times that, "God, I understand your promises. God, I trust you. God, whatever. Yes, I have your word. Yes, I can do whatever. Yes, I know them." But do I actually do them, or do I just talk the talk? Talking the talk is no different than taunting God and mocking him because we truly don't respect who he is. Verse 46, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Who's watching you in your battles? What do you fight your battles for? That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel? What are we able to show forth from our battles? People are watching every day what we do. Verse 47. "And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. Why would you run quickly? What do you think David had instilled in him to be able to not sit and ponder and think? It was his mindset. His mindset allowed him to run quickly because he trusted in the Almighty God. He knew that the battle was the Lord's and not his. He came prepared to his battle with spiritual warfare, not physical earthly warfare. When we try to fight our battles that seem like we have quick response and quick-wittedness and anything that comes out, it's usually in the wrong motives because we act in anger and we act in hurt and we don't handle it a lot of times in the right direction. But if we continue to trust who God is and learn who God is, that will continue to shape our life and turn it into a lifestyle. So when we are faced in a battle or we're continuing to go forward in our war, we will be able to run towards the battle. We'll be able to run quickly towards the battle because we know we're not in it alone. We're not isolated. That's the biggest thing. That is what Satan wants you to make you feel like you're alone. Satan wants to make you feel that you can't do it, that you're not worthy. That's his goal. But if you can change your mindset to know that you're not in it alone, you're fighting in this battle for the Lord of all the hosts, of all the armies, the one true Almighty King, you can't fail. You then can pick it up and you can run and you can attack, just like what David did. Verse 49. And David put his hand into a bag and took it from the stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into the forehead so that he fell to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in David's hand. Look at what he accomplished. The impossible. And it was instant. Goliath didn't even have, when we read up here, he didn't even have a sword out of its sheath. He caught Goliath by surprise. Goliath did not think one bit that a little tiny shepherd boy with a slingshot would be able to take him down. Our problems will be caught by surprise if we come loaded with the Word of God and with the hope that we have in Jesus Christ when we face a situation. Our problems can't handle it. We'll catch it off surprise. You'll catch the world off surprise, by surprise. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw this, that their champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the slain Philistines lay along the way to Shram, even to Gath and Ekron. Do you enjoy your victories? When they shouted, when they seen Goliath fall, what did they do? What do you do for people when you accomplish and you make it through your battle? And your battle, I think you all know that, is any hard situation that we face or anything that we're struggling with or any issue that we have. It's a battle. There's multiple battles within a war. Our war is our life. We're fighting a war for Jesus Christ. Each day is a battle. The war is already won. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That means victory was already done. But we still have our individual battles that we have to face and that we have to work through. People are watching. Because you're not alone. You're not the only one with that problem. Somebody else has the same thing that they're dealing with, and they're watching you to figure out how are they handling it. And when they see that you can obtain that victory, that you did it, they shout with glory. And they pursue the enemy or their battle or their problem because they know if you did it, I can do it. It's encouragement. We are encouraging to other people. We should be encouragement to other people. People need it. Everybody would be lying sitting in here if they say that encouragement is not healthy and is not a good thing. It's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to encourage others around us. That's why church is important. That's why showing up on Sunday morning when you really don't want to, well, I can just listen to it on my phone, or I can just listen to it on the computer, or I can watch TV, whatever I want to do. That is why church is important, because it is an encouragement for everybody here on one another. It's just not to see how much money we can put in the bank in the church. It's just not to see how full we can get these pews. It's just not to feel good about everybody that's sitting here and how great the speaking must be able to fill the pews. That's nothing what it means. We are here to be an encouragement and to support one another. Verse 53, the sons of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and plundered their camps. Then David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his weapons in his tent. That's huge with what he did with Goliath's weapons. Don't forget what God has done for you. What's a trophy? What did David do by taking Goliath's weapons and putting them in his tent? Why are they on display? Why do we keep things, our accomplishments? It's not so we can boast in our accomplishment on how good we are or how we are better than others. It's to remind us that with the power of the Almighty God, we can and we will be able to make it through tough times. The display is there for us not to forget that God's power shined and got us through the adverse situation. It's there for us to look at and remember that God is faithful, and He always will be faithful. What do you think that meant for David when he looked at Goliath's sword sitting in his tent? How many times do you think that he played that scenario back in his head of how God, number one, protected him, how God allowed him to have the victory, to how God allowed him to have the courage to step forward, how God gave him the quick feet to run towards his problems, how God gave him a voice to stand up when the Philistines were mocking and making fun of God? What kind of encouragement would that be for David to be able to see the leftover part of the victory that he just obtained? That's in our life. Don't forget about the victories in your life. They're there to encourage you, to remind you that God is faithful. He brought you through that storm. He brought you through that situation. That's going to be something that looks different in all of our lives. But there's always going to be a result at the end of one of those situations. Remember it. Because you're going to have a problem arise again. And you're going to need to fall back on the fact that God is faithful. And that He already protected you once, so why will He not do it again? In verse 52, when they shouted and they chased the Philistines, it was because they caught on to David's attitude. Look at what one little attitude did to an entire army that hours before were shaking in their boots. David's attitude was contagious. Our attitude will be contagious. What type of example are you towards others? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It's living by God's power. Some people talk a lot about faith, but that's all it is. It's talk. They may know all the right words to say, but during a battle, their actions show nothing of God's power. Does that make you think a little bit? James chapter 1, verse 22. But prove yourself doers of the word and not just hearers who deceive themselves. just listening and talking about the Word of God has no real value in your life. With no intent to do what the Bible says, with no intent to live out what the Scriptures say, you're just fooling yourself. There's no real value in it. First John chapter 3:18 says, "My little children, let us love. Let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and truth." If you take all of this information and you put it in, but you don't show it, you don't share it, you don't help one another, you don't use it as an encouragement for one another, what good is it? It means nothing. God did not design it to be all put in as knowledge that's not used. If you remember back in the story of when David is talking to Saul about trying to convince Saul to let him go fight Goliath, he says that he kills a bear and a lion to protect his flock of sheep as a shepherd. Do you think that if David would have lied about that when he was telling Saul, do you think that he really would have been able to run towards Goliath? I think there would have been some hesitation and some doubt. If we talk a big game, if we tell lies about how awesome we are and how much we know, if we just try to deceive people to make ourselves look better, there will be a time that you're going to be called to the carpet. David was able to back up what he said because he didn't just talk the talk. David believed that he serves a God that is mightier than any giant on this earth. David lived his life in the fact that God is all-powerful and can accomplish the impossible. True colors will always be shown. To put your money where your mouth is to trust that God knows what he is doing when it doesn't make any sense. When we're in a situation that does not make sense, you have no choice but to put your money where your mouth is. Is all of this stuff that you sit here hour after hour intaking or reading, is it real? Is it real in your life? Because sooner or later, you're going to be called to the carpet to have to show it. God's not going to be mocked. God's not going to... He's going to test you. He's going to test the realness of the relationship that you have with him. There's a poem that I am my neighbor's Bible. I am my neighbor's Bible. He reads me when we meet. Today he read me in my home, tomorrow in the street. He may be a relative or a friend, or slight acquaintance be. He may not even know my name, yet he is reading me. So I'll watch my steps, where they go, and my eyes, what they may see. And all the words from forth from my lips, because someone is reading me. I'll try my best to do God's will and be what he wants me to be. An all-seeing eye is looking down, and I know he's reading me. And so my God, who reads us all, knows me from A to Z, and when I meet him on Judgment Day, he'll still be reading me. People are always watching us. Some people have never been exposed to this. That's where you come in. That's where we come in. We are here to be able to show people who Jesus Christ is. This world is full of hopeless situations and hopeless people. It's full of them. We don't have to argue that. Our job is to show people who God is. What type of rest, what type of joy that He can really bring us. That's our job. And we will not be able to do our job correctly if we don't first understand that all things are possible with God. Have you ever said to yourself, "Who am I that I would make the difference?" You are exactly the one who God has made you to be to make a difference in someone's life. Stop listening to the wicked thoughts that are being injected into your head that you're no good, that you're not worth anything, that you don't have a purpose. Woe is me, whatever it is. There's no room for an Eeyore attitude. If you remember when David first went to Saul and Saul said, "Okay, I'll let you fight Goliath," what did Saul try to do? He tried to give David his armor. But what was it? It was too big. It was too heavy. It would have made David immobile. It would have caused greater detriment to David than letting David do what he knew he could do on his own. Just as David put on Saul's armor to try and fight the battle, and it was too big and bulky, earthly armor will do nothing more than hinder you in the battle. It's an awesome picture. David had not one piece of physical armor on his body when he went and faced the 9-foot-tall Goliath, who was covered in armor. What is earthly fixes, for lack of words, what do they do for us? They get in the way. Saul's armor would have gotten in the way, and it would not have ended up as smooth and fast as what it was. We always refer back to the full armor of God. To put on the full armor of God and rely on the fact that you fight for the one and true God who is almighty and all-powerful, and there is nothing that can stand in His way other than one thing, and that's us. Get out of God's way. In my battles, in my struggles, I'm the one hindering God from finishing it. It's time to get out of the way. It's time to step back and give it over to the Almighty God, the all-powerful God. Let's close. Father, we just thank You for the time this morning to reflect upon how powerful You are. We can stand up here, we can listen to this, and it sounds so easy just to be able to turn things over to You. But we need help. We need the courage to be able to do it. We need the courage to be able to step back and the patience to wait for You to take the battle over. You say that it's Yours. You say that our struggles and our situations and the things that we're dealing with can be accomplished and dealt with. And to us, they seem so overwhelming. But that's not how You designed it to be. You designed us to be able to turn them over to You and watch You come forth with the victory. So, Father, I just pray that You can give us all the patience and the encouragement to be able to do that, to be able to turn our problems and our situations over to You and truly trust that You're the Almighty, the all-powerful God that will let nothing stand in His way. We are Your children. You've given us that need for You. And I just ask that that need comes forth in each one of us, that we truly can come to you on our knees and just humble ourselves to just let you take our life over. I just pray that you can challenge each one of us this week to be able to tell somebody about you, to be able to shine your truth and your light forward in this dark world. There's so many people that need to know who you are, and you've placed us here and now. Let us have the attitude of, here I am, send me, when there's nobody else. Let each one of us go out of this door today with that attitude of, who do we need to tell about you? Father, I just thank you again for the opportunity this morning. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, we got song. Bob, do you want to grab offering this morning?
I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful